Tonight, I'm going to do something I don't normally do, and that's read a ton of scripture. But we're going to read first 30 verses of this chapter, so hang on, get your Bibles out. If you didn't get your Bible reading in, you will today. Just follow along, and you follow along with me, if you will. John chapter 4, verse number 1. That when, therefore, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of the Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That's about noon, just so you know. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Yes, he was. Which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. That's a record that we haven't kept in our church yet. Amen. I've had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is this place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all the things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now, we know this is the story of the woman by the well. Jesus sits down on the edge of the well. The disciples are off buying some food. And this lady comes up and Jesus said, Will you give me a drink of water? I don't have anything with which to draw from, but you do. Would you give me a drink of water? It surprised her because she was a Samaritan. The Jews considered Samaritans worse than dogs. Samaritans were kind of a half-breed people. They were a mixed race. And they were a crude, rough group of people. And the Jews were to have no dealings with the Samaritans. And here's Jesus talking to this Samaritan lady. And she was a little perplexed. And she said, look, who are you that you'd ask me to give you water? He said, lady, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me to give you water, because the water I'll give you lasts forever. She said, where in the world can I get this water? And he begins to give her the gospel, and I believe from all indication, she got saved. Now, she leaves and heads home, and the Bible says that she went back and told everybody what Jesus, this Christ, said unto her, and said, you ain't going to believe who I just talked to. Now, here's a lady who's been married 5 times, living with another guy, and she goes back all excited about having met Jesus. Now, the end of this chapter is what I'm really shooting at, what I want us to focus on tonight, where we were at. The woman then left her water pot. Notice she left the water pot. She didn't just leave the well. She left the water pot sitting there. She didn't take any water back with her. At least, not physical water. And went her way into the city and saith to the men, come and see a man which told me all the things that I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, I want you to know something. This lady, as soon as she got saved, goes and tells everybody about Jesus. Now watch this. She was so excited about it that the people left town and went out to meet him. I'll show you that in a moment here. This lady's name is not recorded. Jesus never used it. God never used it in Scripture. Yet, we see this lady get saved and go tell people about Jesus and how he changed her life and changed her eternity. She didn't attend a 4 to 6 week class on how to go out and appropriately do it. She didn't have the time to learn the Romans Road. She didn't have a gospel tract, as far as we know. Matter of fact, she didn't even have a copy of the Word of God. She just went back and said, Shazam, I met a man named Jesus, and you all ought to talk to this feller. He told me things that only God himself could know, and you need to get to know this fella. And she was just telling people about what Jesus did for her and that they needed it also. Now, this lady had not gone through a soul winning course, but many people got saved. Look at verse number 39. And many of the, what's the next word? Samaritans. Where was that lady from? Samaria. Huh. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. What woman? The woman at the well, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own words, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Notice, the people she talked to went and saw Jesus and got saved. He stayed there 2 more days. The Bible says many more believed on him. All because one lady got saved, went back, and started telling folks about Jesus. Her name's not even recorded. The only thing she's known as is the woman. That's her name in the Scripture. Lost people, listen to me very carefully here. Lost people are not going to share the gospel with anybody. They don't even know what it is. God places the responsibility of getting the gospel out on saved people, not the lost. And may I say this, God doesn't place the responsibility of getting the gospel out on himself, it's on us. We sinful humans tend to think that we have to be expert and intellectually trained to go soul winning. This little Samaritan lady got saved, and first thing she did was went back and told a whole bunch of people about him, and a whole bunch of folks got saved, and she didn't have one course one time. immediately after getting saved, people were getting saved within hours of her getting saved because she got saved. Now, let's look at this being saved and what we call soul winning a little more closely. Number one, are you ready? And by the way, the last part of that I just gave you about many people getting saved because of her, you don't hear that taught very often. You don't see it associated in Scripture, but it's right there. The story continued all the way through. Number one, the Great Commission was given to save people, not to lost people. The Great Commission was given to save people, not to lost people. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye, therefore. Who is he talking to? Save people. The disciples. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel. In none of those places did he command us to have people saved. He told us what to do if they did get saved. But he said it's our responsibility to get the gospel out. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This is at Pentecost. Whole bunch of people, 3,000 folks get saved and baptized. Look at verse number 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and breaking of bread, and prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men had every need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be what? Saved. That wasn't on the lost. That's on the saved people. That's part of that 3,000 that got saved that day. Lost people have a dead spirit. A dead spirit cannot bring the living Holy Spirit to people's lives. Only the gospel can do that. But a dead spirit is not going to be concerned about somebody else's dead spirit. It's not their responsibility to get the gospel out. It's our responsibility to get the gospel out. By the way, it's not a calling or a gift that you have to have. This lady was not called. She didn't have a supernatural spiritual gift that God immediately gave her. It's called the gift of gab. No, it's called obeying God and telling others about Jesus Christ. You see, God did his part of the gospel. He puts it on us, saved people, to get the word out. He provided a savior. He provided a word of God to show us what would happen, that Jesus did it, and Jesus did it in the middle of all that. Jesus paid the price for us, and he said, look, I've done everything I can. Now it's your job to get the word out to everybody in the earth. If they die and go to hell, it's your fault, not mine.
Right.
I'm going to get myself in trouble when I say this. I'm for praying that God would save somebody. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You don't have to. It's not God's problem to get them saved. It's your problem. Get off your blessed assurance and go give them the gospel.
Amen.
I hate to tell you that. I know people have prayed for 25 years for somebody to get saved, but they never witnessed to them. What good is it? It's not God's responsibility. It's our responsibility. Now, if you pray and ask God to send a soul winner to them, that's one thing. My wife has never met her biological dad. It took me 7 years to find this rascal. She wanted to find him so that she could make sure that he had a chance to get saved. He lived in a distant state, won't tell you what state. Happened to know some preacher in the area. I contacted him, said, hey, look, I've got an address. Here's the situation. Will you go witness to this man? A couple weeks later, I got a phone call back. That pastor called me and he said, Brother Bush, he said, you're never going to guess. He said, my wife and I went out there. He said, I won that man to Christ. I won his wife to Christ. I won one of their children to Christ, just so you know. Praise the Lord. My wife still never met him. But we got the gospel to him. They'll meet someday. May I say this? It's not our responsibility to get them saved. It's our responsibility to get the gospel to them. Oh, did we pray for God to send somebody? Yes. Did we pray that he'd be in an area where we could send somebody? Yes. When the opportunity came, I got somebody to go talk to him. So, the Great Commission was given to save people, not to the lost. Folks, if we don't do it, who will? If we don't do it, who's going to? Number two. This one's really going to hair lip some Baptists, and I hope it does. This lady did not take time to clean up her life before telling others about Jesus. She had had five husbands. It doesn't say how she lost five of them. It doesn't say she was divorced. Doesn't say she was widowed. It just says she's had five, and the one she was with, she's not married to. Now, I don't know if she killed all five husbands, but the one she was with, she wasn't supposed to be with. The moment you get saved, we're supposed to start getting the gospel to somebody. And it doesn't matter how old or how young. Did you know children are supposed to witness too? Do you know teenagers are supposed to witness? Do you know young adults and middle age and older middle age and really old middle age are supposed to witness too? I was in Peoria, Illinois about a year and a half ago preaching. The pastor I was with said, Brother Bush, he said, I gotta show you a man that is just amazing. This guy's 102 years old. In a nursing home, he said he's the best soul winner I got in church. 102 years old. I thought, right. We sat down to talk to this feller, and I'll be honest with you, he was a little addle-brained. You could tell you're talking to a 102-year-old feller. You know, he was kind of in and out of reality a little bit. And all of a sudden, the light kicked on. He said, Preacher, but I had one saved today. He could tell the story as clear as you and I. Talked about who it was. Showed us the name that he wrote down, so I knew he wasn't lying. He may have been losing it on everything else, but he didn't lose it on the gospel. He looked at me and he said, I might be slipping in some ways, but I'm still not slipping on the gospel yet. I thought, 102 years old. I said, sir, I said, hey, what an honor to meet you. By the way, just passed away here in the last 6 months or so, 103 years old. And the week he died, he had somebody saved. I love it. I love it. You say, why? Because that's a person who is committed to getting the gospel out. I remember, and I'm not the greatest example of this, but I got saved when I was about 4 and a half years old. I remember in second grade, the class bully, I won't give his name. Doubt he would ever hear me preach, but I don't even want him to look me up. I remember in second grade, I got so tired of this guy bullying me, I finally got the courage up one day, and I witnessed to him. And standing in the classroom towards the end of the school day, I watched that young man bow his head and trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, and I was in second grade. I didn't know all the things you're supposed to say, but I know he got saved. You know, we're to get the gospel out and bring people to Jesus. God did not command us for them to get saved. He commanded us to get the gospel out. Notice what she did. Look at verse number 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all the things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, some of your intellectual Bible scholars will tell you these are the five men that used to be her husband. I have absolutely no idea. The Bible doesn't say who the men were. But she did talk to the men. We know that she did because if you go to verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and abode there 2 days, and many more believed. By the way, it doesn't say they're just the men. It said the Samaritans. They went and got their families, and I'm sure she told more than just a few people. Because there were enough people there that Jesus stopped and spent 2 days there. 2 whole days. And the Bible says that many more believed on him. Not only did she get saved, she brought people to Jesus, told them about him. They went to Jesus. She was there. Now watch this. And many more came and got saved. Why? Because one lady got saved, got excited about it, and was telling everybody what Jesus did for her. Amen. That's what soul winning is. Church-sponsored soul winning gives you a scheduled time to go. But it's not the only time to go. It doesn't say she waited till Thursday night at 6:30 or 10 o'clock Saturday morning to go talk to somebody. She left her water pot and went and did it right away. That means this, take tracts with you to hand out everywhere you go. Don't be afraid to step up and speak up for the Lord. We need to get the gospel out. Can I tell you something? This old dead world, you go to the graveyard, you go down here to Pleasant View, down to the cemetery, those people aren't going to tell anybody anything. If they start talking, I'm leaving. Trust me. I drive by there a lot, and there's a lot of people down there talking to their loved ones. They ain't hearing them, but they're talking to them. And if anybody ever speaks back to you down there, you better make sure they're on the right side of the dirt. Amen. If not, you got problems. You need more medication. Okay? Something's wrong here. We need to get the gospel out. We need to invite people to church. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, then invite them to go to church with you at least. Give them a gospel tract. The gospel's printed on every one of those things on the back on the blue side of that thing. That's all they need to know to get saved. That's it. You don't have to have a college degree in theology to win somebody to Christ. You don't have to sit through soul winning classes. If you're saved, tell them what you did. It's that simple. This lady didn't have the Romans Road. The book of Romans wasn't even out then. Hate to disappoint you. The book of Romans hadn't even been penned on the earth yet, and she had a whole bunch of people saved. Don't you love it? I'm having too much fun. Number three. So, we say this, the Great Commission was given to the saved, not to the lost. This lady didn't take years to clean up her life before telling people about Jesus. Let me say this, I think that our appearance and how we live does help with our credibility in the community. I really do. But can I tell you something? I'll take some old drunk to get saved. As long as he's not drunk, he can tell somebody about Jesus. I led a man to Christ in Indiana. He was a sodomite. It's a funny story in and of itself. He was in a parking lot. A bunch of men in my Sunday school class had him cornered. This guy wouldn't get saved. It took me about that long to figure out what he was. They said, Brother Bush, this guy thinks he's too bad a sinner to get saved. My soul winning partner, God bless him, he was aggressive. He got a little intense. He said, what do you mean you think you're too bad a sinner? If you don't get saved, you're going to bust hell wide open and fry like a sausage. This poor little old sodomite going, you know. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Want him to Christ. He came to church, got baptized. I mean, within days. He said, I got this problem. I said, yes, you do. He said, what do? I handed him a Bible. He said, well, I go to such and such places. I said, before you do, open up this Bible, sit on the curb out in front of it, read your Bible for 15 minutes before you walk in. Man, reports were coming to me. There's this weird guy sitting out in front of this joint reading a Bible. He came to me on the next Sunday. He said, I went to these places every day. He said, every time I sat down and read my Bible, I turned around and I couldn't walk in. I said, you're right. You know, that man, by the time I left Indiana, had about 8 or 10 people saved and down the aisle and baptized. That's better than most people who were straight their whole life. It's the word of God that changed him, nothing else. It's the power of God and the salvation that everyone believes, not the power of the soul winner. It's not all about you as a soul winner. It's about the gospel in us, getting the gospel out. I believe a lost person who gives the gospel, people can get saved. Sure. I know people who went soul winning before they ever got saved. And people got saved. I was out soul winning with a college student one time. He was winning somebody to the Lord, and he stopped in the middle of it and he said, Brother Bush, I just realized I've never done this. I picked up where he left off and won them both to Christ. Right in the middle of his soul winning presentation. I've done that. That young man said, I've never done this. I said, well, jump in beside him. I'll talk to both of you. He was out winning souls. But he realized he had never done what he told other people to do. So it wasn't him. It's not about the soul winner. It's about the message we take. Now, you build your credibility in the community and in your credibility with people, with how you're dressed, how you appear, how you speak to people. I've been out with people that are not experienced. I trained a man in my Sunday school class in South Carolina. We had a serial rapist out in the area. We knocked on this trailer door. This young lady comes to the door. Two guys standing on her porch, and she's already going. And this is his first door solo. I'm thinking, come on, Mike, you can do this. He gets into it. He said, ma'am, if you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? That didn't sit with her real well. And she's kind of like this. He said, well, ma'am, let me ask it a different way. If I had a gun in my pocket or a knife, and I said, hold it, hold it, hold it. I said, shut up. Don't even talk. And the lady's looking at me. I said, ma'am, it's okay. It's okay. Trust me. He's new at this. Step down. Step down. Ka-dum! She didn't get saved that day for some reason, but at least we left on good terms. Now, he meant well, but it didn't come out real well. There's some fine-tuning that needs to take place for people to listen to the gospel. Let me say this. The term soul winning, it's not spirit winning, it's soul winning. Soul winning means this. I knock on a door. He comes to the door, and it's my job to be personable enough with him to where he says something's different about him, I'll listen to him. And you open up the word of God and they listen to the word of God. How sincere does somebody have to be to get saved? When a total stranger knocks on the door you've never met, telling you about a heaven that he's never been to, about a God he has never seen, about a book that nobody ever saw written before by one author, but may I say this, they trust it and accept what it says, and they bow their head and trust Jesus Christ. I'd say that's pretty serious. I'd say that's pretty sincere. Man, I've chased people down on bicycles. I was in college one time, and this guy was jogging. I was trying to stop him. He said, look, I ain't got time to stop. If you want to run, run. I hate running. I think I'd rather die and go to purgatory than run. Oh, I hate it. I ran 1.5 miles, giving this guy the gospel, We finally get to an intersection. It's time for you to pray. I said, will you stop and pray? He said, I've been waiting for you. Tell me to do that. Oh, shut up. I led that man to Christ. Off he ran. I'm going, oh, I hate running. But I ran a mile and a half just to get somebody saved one day. Hey, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? You're trying to earn the respect enough to where they'll listen to the gospel. It doesn't mean you go in and spend 3 hours with them. Doesn't mean you have to talk to them for 6 months before you ever, well, I think they're now ready. Who made you God? Just give them the gospel. Just give them the gospel. You say, well, what is the gospel? Well, may I say this? It was not her words that saved anybody's. It was the gospel. Notice what they said in verse number 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Look, lady, we didn't believe you. We believed you enough to find out who this feller was. But now that we heard him, and we believe you. See, it's not the person, but they believed her enough to want to go see this Jesus. They had seen enough change in her to where something happened to that lady. I got to find out what that was. People don't get saved because of pretty intellectual, stimulating presentations. They get saved because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're willing to accept it. That's it. Amen. Well, they have to fall under deep conviction. Show me that in the scripture. Bible says you have to realize you're a sinner, not be convicted by it. Right. To realize you're a sinner accepts the conviction. Do you know what the word convict means? To be found guilty. It doesn't mean to be oppressed and crying and weeping, shaking and trembling. It doesn't mean the old-fashioned mourner's bench where you got to pray through it because you're whining and crying for 3 hours and, oh, I got it, and you don't even know nothing about it. We don't need notebooks and chick tracks and comic books to get the gospel out. We need to give people the gospel. I'm not one of these preachers that's going to chick track our way through things. Number one, they teach the Lordship salvation. Number two, I'm not for hiding the gospel. I'm not a soul winner that goes, well, we're from the church. Which church are you from? Well, that doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. I'm not one of these people afraid of which church I'm a part of. Amen. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Get you a gospel track and read the back of it to them. Find the verses in your Bible. Mark the verses in your Bible that are on the back of the track. It's all you need to know. Well, are you going to teach on it again? I'm teaching on it now. Get a gospel track, study it, read it, and do it. If you don't know what to say, put the track in there with you and say, here's what it says. It's that simple. We're all sinners. There is a penalty on sin, which is death and hell. Jesus came and paid that price. All you have to do is trust him and believe him and get saved. That's the gospel.
That's right.
Number four. Keep the gospel simple. I'm going to get in trouble on this one. I love Dr. Ford Porter's memory. Dr. Ford Porter put a track out called God's Simple Plan of Salvation. It was 1, 2, 3 pages of a track that size, 1, 2, 3, in print half that size. It wasn't real simple. I've read through it a couple times in my entire life. There is no way some lost person was going to take time to read through it. Now, I believe people have gotten saved with it. And there was a time in America, in our generations now, people don't read much anymore. It was a time when people knew how to read. That was back half a century ago or more, where that was a very popular track. But it's not real simple. What we have on the back of the gospel track is plenty simple. Short, sweet, to the point. Say, why? Because people are in text mindset. They're in very abbreviated form. And most people, I won't ask you, but probably in a room this size, there's not, I could count on that hand the number of people that have read more than 100 pages of a book in the last 30 days. I'll promise you, there's not five. We don't read anymore. And because of that, you've got to keep things abbreviated. Keep the gospel simple. Did you know that the gospel can be received by a child? Keep it simple. You don't need to have all the wordless books and all the colors, especially for the colorblind boys. Amen. You don't have, you just give people the gospel. I'm not against those tools. If you're comfortable with it, great. But may I say this, you don't have to learn all those things. Just tell them, I listened to a one-legged Vietnam vet, got his leg shot off at Vietnam with a literally wooden peg leg preach on hell one day. And as a 4.5-year-old boy sitting about where Brother Joe Lopez is in a junior church room about four times the size of this auditorium full of kids. That man preached on hell and scared the bejeebers out of me. And I tugged on my Sunday school teacher's dress and said, I don't want to go there. And she took me into the side room where we had Sunday school, knelt beside a little kindergartner type chair. She opened up her Bible, showed me what the gospel said, and bowed my head and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and been saved for the last 49 years. Nah, 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 on the devil. Did you know I don't even know what that lady's name is? I have no idea. I can't wait to get to heaven and find out who she was. I don't remember if she was an old lady. When you're 4.5, everybody's old. I know she was tall to me. But when you're 4.5, everybody's tall to you. I have no idea what the lady's name was. But do you know that because of one faithful Sunday school lady and one junior church preacher who got up and preached, there's been tens of thousands and probably hundreds of thousands of people saved because they gave the gospel one day? Mm-hmm. There's missionaries and preachers' wives and missionaries' wives all over this world because one little boy sitting on about the third or fourth row in a junior church in Camp Baptist Temple on the second floor got saved that day. I've told this before. You know what the irony of that whole story is? About 25 years later, 27 years later, I was preaching in a home, in a girls' home, like a reclaimed lives home for girls. Preaching a graduation service, and I gave my testimony of getting saved at that church. And I gave the man's name. I never do. But I gave the man's name that preached. I gave an invitation and a couple girls came forward and one was weeping and got saved. They brought her to me and they said, you got to hear the story. I said, all right. And she's, you know, I mean, weeping. She it takes her about 2 minutes to tell me she got saved because she's crying so hard. I said, well, I'm very happy for you. She said, that's not it. She finally got control of herself. She said, do you remember the man you were talking about that preached in the junior church? I said, yeah, Mr. Jim Humphreys. She said, that was my grandpa. I said, I got to go shout for a second here. The man who preached when I got saved, almost 30 years later, I preached and his granddaughter got saved. I wonder if he's glad he preached the gospel that day. He was already dead in heaven. But I bet you he was pretty glad he had given the gospel one day in junior church. Amen, Brother Joe? So, keep it simple. I'm not going to take time to turn to all of these, but turn to Mark chapter 1. I've got about 8 or 10 verses here, but I'll just list some of them. I'll quote a few of them. Mark chapter 1, look at verse number 15. Mark 1:15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Did you know you get saved by believing the gospel? You quit believing your own way and believe the gospel. John chapter 1, verse number 12. John chapter 1, verse number 12. We were in John chapter 4. John chapter 1, verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You receive him by believing on him. John chapter 16. Turn over to John chapter 16. Look at verse number 30. John chapter 16, verse number 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? So we get saved by believing. Acts chapter 15, verse 7 through 11. We won't take time to turn there. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Romans chapter 4, verse 24. Talk about believing the gospel. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God said, look, you have to realize you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. Jesus paid the price, and you believe on him. Guess what? You're saved. Amen. 1 John 5:13 says the same thing, that we are to believe on him. Oh, that's just easy believism. Show me one place in the Bible where it's hard believism. Amen. Show me one place in the Bible where people had to be taught for multiple weeks before they could get saved. Jesus had people saved in one conversation. The multitudes came to him to get saved in one conversation. Now let me say this and I'll finish. They are not to believe your words. They're to believe God's words, which is the gospel. It's not a matter of my words. It's a matter of his words. It's not my way to heaven. I don't have to convince people very hard that they're sinners. I've only met one lady who thought she had never sinned. I took her to the book of 1 John. It says, if we say we have no sin, we're liars. I said, well, there's your first. I said, you just lied. So that didn't go very well. Got my point across, though. Those of us who are saved carry the responsibility to get the gospel out. Just like we don't expect dead people to do work. Now, the Democrats expect them to vote, but, and I had that written in right here. We can't expect the lost to tell people how to get saved. It's our responsibility. One of the responsibilities after you get saved, it doesn't mean you're not saved if you don't do it. But it does mean that you're a disobedient Christian. Our job is to obey God and to tell others about him. That's what soul winning is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Let's just get the gospel out. You know, we can share all the excuses. Oh, I'm shy. I don't like talking to strangers. What if they reject it? What if I just don't do it right? We all have those fears. Just tell people like the lady at the well did, what Jesus did for you, and watch how many people get saved in your life.